to say one thing real quick, and that is thank you for supporting this church financially, because you contributed to the baptisms today, whether you know it or not, because those folks were reached by this church. They were impacted by kids ministry, student ministry, you saw it on screens, or adult ministry, whatever it is, lives on lives, impacting people through different things. And you guys support that, make that happen. So will you give yourselves a hand right now and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. And today we're starting a new series, so I'm really pumped and excited about it, because this one's going to go 8 weeks, all right? We're going to cover till Easter, 8 weeks from now, and we're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. And we're going to end up with what I think is the greatest miracle of all, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, right? He's still alive, by the way. The tomb's still empty. And so we're going to celebrate that on Easter. And that's a miracle that all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're familiar with the New Testament, those four writers all wrote about Jesus. Some of them walked actually with Jesus. Others investigated about Jesus and his life and recorded those things as prompted by the Spirit to put them down, and thankfully they did. And the story that we're going to look at today, that we're going to start with, is the only miracle that all four of those gospel writers record, other than the one that we're going to finish with, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They all four record that one, because that changed everything. But the one we're going to talk about today, kind of bookends, is the only other one that all of them, each of them, talked about and recorded. And maybe it's because it affected and impacted so many people. Thousands of people were impacted by this miracle. And before I get into it, I just want to say that as we go into this season of miracles leading up to Easter, I want you to believe God for your miracle. Have you ever needed a miracle? I've needed a miracle before. And I want you to know that God is a miracle worker. It's not just lyrics to a song that we sang a few moments ago. He is a miracle worker. He's done miracles in my life. And many of you have witnessed God's miraculous power. And so if you need a miracle in your home, you need a miracle in your life, you need a miracle somewhere in your life, will you come to church every week believing this could be the day? Will you do that? Just come every week just believing, I think this could be my moment. This could be the time. This, as we go through these miracles of Jesus, I believe your faith is going to rise up. Bring people with you who need a miracle as well, or share these messages with people and help them to get ready for the miracle God wants to do in their life. How many believe God still does miracles today, right? So I want you to not just come and take notes and everything. And by the way, God just really talked to me about, we need to be a note-taking church, okay? So I don't know if you're good with your thumbs, but if you are, you can take notes on our app, because we put the notes on the app, and you can just add to them there and do it that way. Otherwise, if you're too tempted to get over on Facebook or Instagram or something else and do some stuff like that, then maybe you want to resort to paper and pencil. And here's the thing, is that is actually the best way to remember things. scientifically speaking, okay? This isn't in the Bible, but if you'll scientifically write things down, you will remember them better. And here's what's good about that, because I've talked to people like on a Tuesday about a sermon they heard somewhere on a Sunday, and they'll be saying, oh, it was so good. And I'll ask them, what was your favorite part? Yeah. And they're like, oh, it was all so good. I can't remember any of it, you know? And here's what I want you to do. I don't want to just teach this to you. I want you to experience it. Does that sound good? You to experience a miracle in your life. And Jesus, through these miracles, he demonstrates to us what is possible in a human form. Jesus became in human form what it's like if you surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. What can happen in your life? And so as we get into this, let me just give some facts for the Bible nerds around here. Okay, I researched this and I found out that there's difference of opinion, but many Bible scholars believe that out of all four of the Gospels who write all about Jesus and his life, that they really just cover about 50 days. That there's a lot of overlap of stories, and you know this if you've read it, a lot of overlap of stories and all. And if you just condensed all of that, those four books that we call them, those four ancient writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, really only cover about 50 days of the 3.5 years that Jesus was on the planet. And so I say that to say, we're not going to talk about all the miracles Jesus did. He did about 37 different miracles, and we're going to do this for 8 weeks. But we're going to take some of these, and they're going to speak to us, church. They're going to speak to us in different ways. And here's how John put it when he talked about miracles in John chapter 20, verse 30. The disciples, he says, and he was one of them, saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones that I recorded in this book, in this writing called John. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. Somebody say life. You will have life through his mighty power, the power of his name. And I pray that today that somebody will come to life. I mean, really come to life, because outside of Jesus, you're just getting by. You're just existing. To really live your purpose for the reason why God formed you, put you on this planet, you have to have his power, his presence in your life. Can I get a good amen there? All right? And so I believe that today that could happen for you. And so again, just bring your friends to this series, invite them, encourage them, say, this could be your time for a miracle. You come be believing yourself that this could be your time. This could be your Sunday that God moves in your life and that he changes your life forever. Okay, back to the story for today. This is one that impacted 5,000 men plus women and children, because back in the day, ladies, sorry to say, you didn't count, all right? They didn't count you. They would count the men, and so what happens is in the story, there's 5,000, about 5,000 men, plus you got women and children, so you have the potential here of 20,000 or so people being impacted by this one miracle. And perhaps this is why all four of these gospel writers talk about it. Here's what else is remarkable, is where this miracle happens is in a remote area. It is not in a metropolitan area. So it's in an area where the people were sparse. And so for that many thousands of people to be gathered, Jesus has gone viral at this point, all right? He is getting famous. People are wanting to hear him. They are wanting what he has to offer. They are seeking after him. And I hope that there's somebody here today that that's the whole reason you came to Crossroads Church. It wasn't just to do religious duty. It wasn't just to show up and check something off of some spiritual box for you. But you came to see Jesus. You came to meet with Jesus because you believe he is the one who can change your life forever. Yeah, I believe that. All right, so here's the story. Matthew is where we're going to read it. Again, all four of them are recorded, but I chose Matthew, and we're going to read from Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Now, here's what you need to know. Here's what happened. His cousin has been killed. The cousin that he grew up with, they were only about 6 months apart. Their mothers were really close. As a matter of fact, when Mary learned that she was pregnant, it is Jesus' cousin's mom that she went to tell. And when she went to tell about it, the scripture says the baby that was forming in her leaped because the Holy Spirit was already upon that baby. I want somebody to know also here today that God has a plan for you even before you're born. That before anyone ever lays eyes on you, his eye is on you. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. There is no one who comes in this world by accident. Right? It's true. So I don't care what the conditions are. You're not here by accident. And so Jesus, when he learns this, here's what he does. He goes into a solitary place. And I want you to know that when you grieve, you have a God who grieves with you. See, you don't have a God who can't relate. He doesn't understand. Oh, no, he understands. He understands everything you can go through in life. He went through it already. And so he pulls back. He goes into this solitary place. And also with that, I want you to know that sometimes God leads you into solitary places. But he's getting you ready for what he wants to do next. He's getting you prepared for the miracle that may be what he wants to do next. But what God may want to do, he might want to do a miracle in you before he does a miracle through you. And that may be the miracle he wants to do today. You may need to retreat before you can advance. That's kind of what I've done the last couple of weeks, is just pull back. But I think when God pulls us back, and some of you may be in that pullback time, and you're like, what is God doing to my life? I don't see him just moving, and I don't see him just doing a lot of amazing things, and I wish he would do some things, but I feel like he's pulling me back. I want you to know that it could be like an archer who is pulling back the bow right now in your life, and in a few moments, maybe in a week, maybe in 2 weeks, maybe in 2 months, I don't know when, God's going to release something into your life and do something supernatural. That's what he can do. And so maybe he's getting the soil ready because God may do something in private before he does something in public. So I want to encourage somebody today, don't rush the process. Turn to somebody next to you, say, don't rush it. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Because here's what happens to some people when they rush into things. They minister in their brokenness. Have you ever met somebody like that? They're broken themselves, and they're ministering in brokenness. And what God wants you to do is minister through your brokenness. As he brings you through that situation. As he brings you out to the other side. And again, God may be doing that in your life today. In verse 14, let's get back to the story. When Jesus landed, because here's what happened. The crowds heard that he's coming. And so these people, and they had to come from all over because this is not a populated area. And so they've come from all over. They've taken long journeys, perhaps, to get there on foot. And when Jesus landed and he saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I want you to also know something else about Jesus. Not only does he grieve, not only does he know how to grieve with us, but he also knows how to have compassion for you today. As a matter of fact, his compassion for you may be seen today in forgiving you of all your sins, washing you white as snow, and enabling you to, if you die, go to heaven. Pretty good deal, as far as I'm concerned. How about you? I mean, it's amazing that God would do that. That's his compassion. And so that's why he all of a sudden switches and he starts saying, hey, I've got to have compassion for these people. And I wonder today, how many of you have that kind of compassion for the people around you? That you see them. You see them in their hurt. You see them in their loneliness. You see them for what they are, because many people in our culture are lonely. Many people are isolated. Many people are searching. Many people are hurting. And Jesus, what did he do? He went to them. And he opened up his heart to them. Look at this in verse 15 then. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. So here's the thing. Jesus is preaching to maybe 20,000 people. Incredible crowd. And he is teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching. And it's getting late. So I want somebody to know that when I keep going and going and going, I'm just trying to be like Jesus, all right? I'm just trying to be like Jesus. It's kind of like the preacher that laid his watch on the pulpit and somebody turned to the person next to him. They said, what's it mean when the preacher puts his watch on the pulpit? They said, not a thing, not a thing. Doesn't mean anything. So Jesus is on his second conclusion. He's on his third conclusion. And he just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And the disciples are getting hungrier and hungrier. I mean, John's stomach is growling so loud. It's irritating Peter. And they're just all like, what? Somebody needs to tell him. Somebody needs to tell him to stop. Somebody needs to go. And they're like, you do it. I'm not telling Jesus to stop. I'm not going to be that. So I don't know, maybe they tried playing the keyboard, kind of like they do at the awards show, right? Where they, you know, maybe they had a flute player or something. Play a little something, you know, just play. I don't care what you play, just play something. Maybe he'll stop. Jesus wasn't having any of it. He is teaching and preaching and ministering to the people. And finally, I don't know if they drew straws. I don't know how they came down to it, but one of them gets chosen. You be the guy to go to Jesus. And so the scripture says that they go to Jesus and they say, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. And Jesus, we feel for the people. We could hear you all night, right? I mean, John and I, we're talking about, man, this is amazing. We could just be here all night. But the people, Lord, you have compassion for the people. So send the crowds away. They blame it on the people. So they can go to the villages. They got a long ways to go and buy themselves some food. And so Jesus says in verse 16, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, I didn't see that coming, right? I thought he'd do something. I didn't know he'd turn it around and put it back on us. I didn't know he'd want to get us involved. I didn't think we'd have to solve the problem. I wonder how many people today, you're looking for God to do something, and God's looking for you to do something. I wonder how many people today that maybe you're waiting on God, God's waiting on you. Because here's a principle. God often uses natural people to do supernatural things. I've been reading through the Bible once again this year, and I just got through all the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, reading about Moses. And Moses was, he was such an amazing guy. But when God showed up, God says, hey, I have heard the cry of my people. And Moses is like, finally, you know. And then God says, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to deliver them. And, oh, that sounds good to me. And then God says, and Moses, I'm going to use you. And Moses is like, no. That can't be the way we work this. You need to just show up at Pharaoh's house. And God says, no, I've got a plan here. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And here's the principle, people, is God wants to partner with us. Isn't that amazing? God could do it himself, but he chooses to partner with us. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. God uses you to minister to other people. God uses you just like Pharaoh. God says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to use the stick in your hand. You're going to do miracles in front of Pharaoh. You're going to speak the words to Pharaoh. You're going to do the things. And then I'm going to set my people free. See, God says, I'm going to open the floodgates, but you've got to let go of what's in your hand. I'm going to reach your friends, but you have to invite them to church. Or you have to share this message with them. You have to engage them in conversation. And so here comes the disciples. They're like, what are we going to do? We got to figure something out. And they find a little boy with his lunch. Thank God for the mamas who know how to pack the lunch, right? Did your mama do that for you? I'm going to give the ladies credit because a while ago they didn't even count, right? The little boy's there, and he's got his lunch with him. And the disciples see it, and they think, you know, maybe we can do something with this. And they're trying to see how much he has. And what I thought was interesting as I read this again is the little boy willing to let go. Wow. I mean, this little boy, he came to see Jesus. He came to see what Jesus could do, to spend time with Jesus. He came prepared for Jesus. Other people weren't prepared, but he came prepared. I don't know how long this guy's going to preach. I don't know how long this is going to go, but I'm here for the long haul. And I wonder today how many people came to church and you're ready to spend time with Jesus, or are you interested more in NASCAR or football in August, or what's next, or that meeting this week that just is all about your mind, or the homework you've still got to do today because it's due tomorrow. And I just wonder, I would love to be the kind of church that when we come to church on Sunday, it is not just to check a box. It is not just to do our religious duty. To try to get in and out in an hour and to achieve this, some of you just come late. And so you just missed part of the worship. And you say, well, I'll get an hour in, and that's good, and as long as I hear the message or whatever. And listen, I want you to know, I'm glad you're here today, but let's be a church that is more hungry for Jesus than lunch, than NASCAR, than football, than anything else that the world has to offer. Come on. Let's be that kind of church that we come ready. And so this boy is willing to let it go because Jesus asks for it. And today, maybe Jesus would ask for your life. And it's so important for us to be willing to let go. And in verse 16, he says, you give him something to eat. Verse 17, he says, here's what the disciples have. And it's so good how they put this. We have here only, this all we've come up with, only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Where's my other fish at? Somebody, no, there it is. All right. Thought somebody took my fish, all right? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they were like, what is that among so many? And I wonder today if that's your attitude toward God. What little I have to offer. You know, I don't think I can, I don't have much. See, that's what Moses said. I can't go to Pharaoh. I don't have anything. And God says, what's in your hand? And Moses says, a stick. And God says, and that's not what I see. Throw it down. And it became a snake. And when it was in Pharaoh's presence, it wasn't just a snake. It was a snake that was powerful enough to swallow all the sorcerer's snakes in front of Pharaoh. Don't discredit what is in your hand. Little is much when God is in it. In other words, what God wants to do through your life is not limited by your supply. Your supply is all he needs. In verse 18, look at this. He says, well, bring them here to me. In other words, give it to me. Give me the talent that you think, well, it's just not much of a talent. Other people are so gifted, they're so much more talented. Oh, would you just bring me that talent? I don't have much time to offer and all. And God says, would you just offer what you have? Yeah, I just don't have a lot of money. Boy, there's probably people in this church have a lot more money than me. And God says, would you just give me what you have? Just put it in my hands. And he says, surrender it to me. Just bring me your lack. Bring me your brokenness. Bring me your hurt. Bring me whatever it is that you have in your hand. It may only look like a stick, but just watch what I can do with a stick. Come on, somebody. That's what God can do. Some of you, I think, are missing out because you're not willing to surrender the little that you have. I remember growing up singing a song. We sang it a few weeks ago. I brought it back. I surrender all. I surrender all. It's just simple, Simple tune, simple song, I surrender all. But those are some powerful lyrics. I surrender everything to you, Lord. I surrender. 25 years ago now, we surrendered where we had planted the church to plant another church in Avon. And nobody does that, by the way. They just usually do it once, and then that's like, okay, that was enough, all right, to do one. But God called us to do it again. And we knew God was in it. And we gave God what we had, and then look at what God has done in 25 years of ministry in this community. God says, hey, give me your tithe, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it. In other words, if you'll give me your five loaves and your two fish, if you'll just offer it to me, watch what I can do. Because if you would say, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and serve an hour of my week. I'm going to come and attend a service, and then I'm going to serve in the other service. You know what? God might just take that extra hour that you give to him and do miracles through your life. Yeah, yeah. All right. God's supply is on the other side of surrender. And I thought about this too. Not only was the little boy willing to give his lunch, but here's the other thing. The little boy could have eaten his lunch. He could have said, I hear Peter's stomach growling, and I'm getting a little hungry myself, you know. Good thing my mama packed me a lunch, you know. And he could have eaten his miracle. And I wonder how many today you're eating your miracle. You're eating what God could use to multiply and to do far exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think if you would just surrender it to him. In other words, don't eat your seed. There's a harvest in the seed. Turn to somebody and say, don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. Instead of eating it ourselves, we need to surrender it to God, because when we let go of what isn't enough, God lets go of what's more than enough. In verse 19, let's pick it up. Then Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up to heaven, and watch this sequence. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now here's what happens is there's a brokenness first that happens before the miracle takes place. And this is the reason why we do a 90-day tithe challenge here at Crossroads Church. And we've done this for years. And you can find the information on the website and all that's there. But here's what it is. 90 days. Just try God. God says, give me the tithe. He said it. We didn't make it up. God made it up. It was his idea. And he says, and if you'll do it, I'll bless your life. But here's what I also know. When you determine to step out for God, the enemy sometimes, oftentimes, will attack you like never before. I mean, you decide, I'm going to start tithing, and your refrigerator quits that week. Your furnace blows up. You know, and that's the reason we say, hey, just 90 days, you know, just keep in there, just because breakdown often leads to breakthrough. And if you just keep going, the miracle happens. And here's what's interesting. The miracle happens in the disciples' hands. Because when Jesus, you know, he looks up and he breaks it and blesses it and all, it's not like boop, 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 boop. You know, bread's everywhere. Wow. fish falling down out of the sky, you know. No. No, he blesses it, and it looks like nothing happens. And what I want you to see here today is it doesn't make sense. Faith is a choice to carry out even what you don't comprehend. You know, I thought when he blessed it, the disciples might have thought, whew, there it's going to be. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I bet fish just start popping up. I bet bread just comes out of the ground. But instead, there's like no evidence of anything happening. Because in Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus. He said, his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And I want somebody to know today, God's thoughts are not just higher than yours. They're better than yours. They're better than yours. And so you need to go with what God declares. And here's in verse 20. Let me speed this along. They all ate and were satisfied. Oh, thousands of people are fed and satisfied. And the disciples picked up this interesting. 12 baskets full. How many disciples were there? Yeah. Each one got a basket of broken pieces of leftovers. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides the women and children. And here's the thing. Is God counted on a little boy that nobody counted? Nobody counted him. But Jesus counted him and counted on him to come through. See, the world gives temporary thrills. Only Jesus is able to give lasting satisfaction. Amen. The crowd was not, they didn't just get a hors d'oeuvre, okay? They got a buffet of fish and chips that day. Come on, somebody. Right? I mean, God is the God of abundance. I want somebody to know today that he can take what seems little and turn it into much. He's the God of abundance. I am not saying that if you give financially to the Lord that all of a sudden you're going to be a millionaire. God's going to, you know, give you a new car or a new house or whatever. But I am saying if you give to God, and especially you give your all to him and you surrender not just your money, but your time, your talent, you give him everything, he'll fill you with joy. He'll fill you with peace. He'll fill you with love. He'll fill you with satisfaction like you've never felt before, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Can somebody give me a witness? That's why you have no idea what hangs in the balance today if you just decide to follow Jesus. If you would just put your life in his hands. You have no idea what he might have in mind for you, what he might do in your life. And also, folks, listen, let's don't be a church that's just after Jesus for the bread. As a matter of fact, after this story, Jesus called people out one time. He says, you're just here to get a free meal. He did. He said, you knew what happened the last time. Now you're just coming for the food. Listen, let's don't be people who serve Jesus just if he'll do this for me, or he'll do that for me, or if he answers this prayer, if I get the promotion next week, or if I get some more money, or if God brings my family back, or if God gives me a spouse, or if God does this for me. No, let's be people that just follow Jesus because he is the bread. He is the one that we need in our lives, not the bread that he gives. And somebody may be here today, and that's what you need. You need the bread, the living bread, that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if you'll eat from me, you'll never go hungry again. And today, maybe God wants to use you to reach your neighbor, to reach your coworker, to reach your fellow student. You're saying, oh God, would you move? And God says, I would if you would. I'm waiting. I'm ready. If you'll step out, if you'll open your mouth, if you'll give an invitation, if you'll talk to them, I'll be there. I'll give you words to say. I'll speak through you. I'll do miracles through your life if you'll just surrender what's in your hand. Let's pray. Father, today, help us to be bold in our faith. You want to do incredible things, and God, there's many of us here today that we want you to do incredible things, but you're just asking for us to get out of our seat. You're asking for us to step out. So, Lord, help us to have the faith of a little boy. Maybe you're here today, and you say, Craig, I want to have faith like that little boy. I want to have faith that if Jesus wants what's in my hand, I know he's got something big in mind. I know that he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And so I want to live my life open-handed to him. If that's your prayer today, come on, church. If you want God just to use your life like never before, will you just stretch a hand or both hands up toward heaven right now and just say, oh, God, please use my little fish and loaves. Use my talent. Use my treasure. God, today, we just lift our hands to you and we say, God, help us to be like that little boy. Help us to be willing to surrender to you. We want to see miracles happen. We want to see your power on display. Hey God, just like Moses, you may be waiting on us. And so today, we just surrender all to you. Maybe others of you are here, and you've never done that. You've never really surrendered your life to God. Maybe you've gone to church and done religious things and whatever, but you've never really fully surrendered your heart, your life to God. And if you're here today, and you've never done that, or maybe you did it, but you've chosen your own path since then. You've gone your own way, and maybe because that's not working out so well, that's why you're even here today. And so if you're here this morning and you say, oh, Craig, I need God in my life. It's evident. I need God in my life. And if he can forgive me, if he can cleanse me, if he can wash me, I want you to know he not only did it for me, he can do it for you today. And if you're here and you want that relationship with him, you want restored to God, will you just raise a hand all over this room? Just raise it up. Just raise it up. And say, yeah, I'm saying yes to Jesus today. And online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. But let's all pray this prayer so those around us will pray it. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all my sin. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From this point on, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for coming in and changing me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Come on, celebrate it big. Somebody online today just committed their lives to the Lord.